This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
OJ, come on, let's give him a big round of applause. Glory be to God. To God be all the glory. I salute all the men of God, my brothers and sisters. The Almighty God, we keep all of us till the very end in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a burden in my heart tonight, you know, about the message that the Lord had laid in my heart. I'll be slower than usual because it's going to be a lot of teachings and things that I want us to go with and begin to put to use. I was quoting OJ Kuye earlier on when we were in the minister's room. He had said sometimes ago that, you know, actions without prayer is arrogance. And, you know, prayers without action is hypocrisy. So in other words, prayer is important, but added to prayer are some positive steps, and that's when we can get results. The rascality in the body of Christ today had made attempt to convince us that we can just come to church and make big noise and expect results. It doesn't work that way. So tonight I've come with a teaching that the Lord over the time had troubled my spirit with and beginning to challenge me to take the same message, you know, particularly in meetings like this. And in any case, it's Word First. Word First is a place where you want a revelation of the Word of God that can transform and change our lives. So, my clicker is not pushing me. Maybe you want to push for me. Let me try just one more time. Okay, now it goes. All right, so the subject is resurgence now or never. Say that to your neighbor. That's not loud enough. Say it one more time. Now or never. That's the subject. Within the theme of the Word First in the days of His power. Our text is from Psalms 110. We're going to read verses 1 to 3. Psalms 110 verses 1 to 3. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Verse 2. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. Verse 3, the key verse. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. May the Lord bless the reading of his words in Jesus' name. Amen. Brethren, it is the nature of the body to be weak and the soul to be weary. It's of the nature of light sometimes to go dim and fire to go out. Of dream to die and vision to dim. Of shepherd to be stricken and the sheep to scatter. Of love to wax cold and strength to go out. It happens sometimes that glory fades and wealth can even fly. Of church to drift and the nation to sink. That's why we need resurgence and revival at all times. And we are in those days and times in history when we need revival or resurgence more than at any other time. The word resurgence is another word for revival, which means to make fresh and strong again. To bring back to life, to revive something is to provide it with new energy of life. No wonder the psalmist says in Psalms 85 verse 6, will thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? I'm truly praying and believing God tonight that there will be true revival in our midst in the name of Jesus. I said there will be true revival in our midst in the name of Jesus. Revival or resurgence is the sovereign act of God in which He restores his own backsliding people to repentance, faith, and obedience. The dying coming back to life. The broke back to prosperity. The dumb to speak. The deaf to hear. In this place tonight, the broke will become prospered again. Amen. I can't hear your amen. I said, those who are dumb, not because they cannot physically speak, but because there is nothing to really say. The Almighty God will open your mouth in the name of Jesus. Amen. Because now you will have several testimonies in the name of Jesus. But then I've discovered that all the time when God is ready for revival or resurgence, there are always two possibilities or two categories of people. You'll find those who are already on the ground, but who must rise up. And I believe the majority of that category, you are right here tonight. Because everyone who is down right now will rise up again in the name of Jesus. Your amen is too low. Amen is saying, so shall it be. Now, when you are not saying anything, you are probably saying, well, I don't believe it. And if your amen is too low, you are saying, I don't care. So I'm saying, those who are on the ground now, you are rising up again. Yeah. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Brethren, there are several areas of our lives where we really need God to revive us. There was a story of a young lady at 16 that committed abortion. And so the last abortion was very bad. And so they had to remove the womb at 16. And so later on in life, you know, she gave her life to Christ and became born again. And so she wasn't trying to get married to anyone because if you have no womb, then you have no chance of raising children. And then suddenly, one young man came to her and said, the Lord said to me that you are going to be my wife. And then she laughed. You must be joking. Go and pray more. And the brother went back a little bit and prayed. And the brother came back. I heard from God saying that you are my wife. So, okay, I will know now whether you are saying the truth or not. Because you are close to me and I know you are a serious Christian, I will tell you a secret I've not told anyone. This lady you are looking at has no womb. Ah, the brother said, I need to go and pray truly. And so, of course, he went back and prayed. But then came back and said, the Lord said the same thing. That you are my wife. So she ran to the mom that I found a man really crazy. Because I told him that I have no womb and still is willing to get married to me. Long story short, they got married. And they were saying, well, after 2-3 years, if nothing happens, we're just going to go and adopt anyway. It doesn't matter. And we'll raise children. But the second year, they went to a program like this. And they were returning home, and the lady was pressed and told the now husband, say, look, please stop. I must ease myself. Ah, on the road, come on. Let's get, said, no, it's pushing hard. And so the guy, you know, parked the car. And for the first time, after they removed her womb, she began to menstruate again. That's resurgence. I don't know where you have written yourself up. There will be resurgence. Amen. 9 months after that experience, they have a set of twins. If you want to clap, go ahead and really clap for the Lord. There shall be resurgence in the name of Jesus. Everything dead or dying will be revived again in the name of Jesus. You know, you may be broke. You've written yourself out completely. It's because you have not heard about this man that I read of. Dave Sandoval is the name. The founder of Polyam Health Products. He went homeless at 17 to become CEO at 32. You can read his story. Now, I don't know how old you are. And I don't know how broke you are. But there will be revival. Yeah. There will be resurgence. Let me hear your loudest amen. Yeah. But then there are people that are down now, and they will be down forever. Mm-hmm. Now, they are not in church tonight. But I must tell you that we have categories of people like that. There's a very young girl, very pretty girl, Jacqueline Sabrido. You know, very pretty as you can see, but very wayward as well. I'm hoping that, you know, yeah, she has changed her life now. But one of the days, joined some other teenagers some years back now to attend a party that the dad had said you must not. And the dad did not quite restrain her, and so she went. So they drank, and on their way, had a ghastly bottle accident. And she became almost, I don't know what to say. I'm watching my words there. I mean, disfigured completely. I know that spiritually, the Almighty God can still make a whole lot out of her. The Lord can even see, turn the skin around. But you could see how far down she went. There are situations that truly brings you down, way too deep down. Anyone who is on that kind of journey tonight, you will be revived in the name of Jesus. Amen. I can't hear your amen again. Why? Because resurgence is now or never. Let me look at your neighbor as if you are angry and say to him or her, resurgence is now or never. Oh, you're not focused enough. Come on, say it to somebody else and say, resurgence is now or never. Let me hear your amen to that. Now, let me begin to move to the heart of the message. What the Lord has shared with me, however, is that until the bridge connecting today with tomorrow is rebuilt, resurgence remains a mirage. Where you are today has a bridge that connects you to where you must be tomorrow. Now, in many homes, in many lives, and definitely all over the world, at least three bridges are broken, which has to be reconnected for a glorious tomorrow. The connection between today and tomorrow is broken, brethren. The world's greatest threat today, I submit to you, is the fact that the bridge connecting today with tomorrow is broken. Meaning that the future is bleak for the most part. And you must hear me and hear me well tonight. The world is tumbling. Man, the economic situation of the world is such that you're not even sure what will happen tomorrow. I mean, some of us know that as of this time last year, the exchange rate of naira to dollar was about 170. As I speak to you, it's about 360. Thank you. She must be in that market. Now, hear me well. Which means, if you, whatever you had last year, while you're watching, having done nothing wrong, not committed any sin, is just halved. The world we're in is tumbling and tumbling very quickly. Now, there is a link all the time between moral decay and economic crisis. Always. Search through the scriptures. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah came on the scene and said, hey, Ahab and Israel, because you are not going to honor God, there will be famine. 3 years. If I told them that only at my word will there be rain. And that went for 3 years and 6 months. Not until in 1 Kings 18, when revival came again, there was no rain. And people suffered. Do you know that America's first open gay imam emerged not too long ago? Now, that's not a problem. After all, we have had first open gay bishop. But the problem with the open gay imam is that the Islamic move is coming with a strategy. I want to quote this open gay imam, begin of quote. When they asked him, he said, American Muslims should welcome same-sex marriage ruling. We cannot combat Islamophobia and demand equal treatment for Muslims while propagating homophobia. End of quote. In other words, the Muslims, they are happy to be gay for as long as it prepares them to take their rightful place in the economy of the world. You know very well that the mayor of London is a Muslim. And look at Europe as a whole. The move of Islam seems unstoppable. And not too long ago, a teacher from one school, I don't want to mention the name of the school, very good school in science and technology. You probably may have them here, I'm not sure, but definitely in Houston, came to church and said, came with a gift. But see, underneath the science and technology is strong Islamic move. So said to me that, look, I want you to help us send many of the, you know, children in your church to our school. You know, our school is strong in science and technology. I said, yes, I know you are strong in science and technology. But I also know, however, that you have an Islamic agenda. He said, how do you mean? I said, well, for example, when they are going on summer break in your school for the students, if they choose to go to Canada, it is free. Or rather, if you choose to go to Turkey, it is free. But if you are going to Canada, it's very expensive. Now, Canada is just around the corner. That's the one that should have been very free. Now, but taking them to Turkey is one that is free. It doesn't make sense to me. Help me with the math. I said, where she was looking at me, I said, well, I know the answer. Because if it is free, summer break is summer break. Most parents will allow you to take their children to Turkey, where they can be exposed very early to Islam. Because if economics were to be right, what would have made sense would have been to make Canada free and Turkey expensive. She looked at me and smiled a little bit. He said, well, maybe you have some point, but still help me send some of your children. I met a man, an Igbo. Igbo is a tribe in Africa, Nigeria in particular. I met the guy, and he had become a Muslim with long beard. Now, if someone is Yoruba, which is from southwest Nigeria in Africa, who turned from Catholic to Muslim, I can understand because, you know, they are mixed a little bit. But for an Igbo Catholic to turn to a practicing Muslim, I find that very shocking. And he had also heard that I used to be a Muslim, or at least I was born a Muslim, and that now I'm a pastor. So she came. He came. He came with a Bible and a Quran for a religious debate. You know, he came with a very serious question. He said, I learned you were born a Muslim. What are you doing, a pastor? So I was cool. And I said, look, don't let us discuss this thing here. I really want to visit you. Give me an appointment. He went to his house. I said, I will answer your question, but what is an Igbo Catholic doing with Islam? Anyhow, long story short, he told me that when he was Catholic, his brothers in the church never helped his business. As a matter of fact, you know, they were just, nobody paid attention to his suffering. In the middle of that, some Egyptians came and told him that we'll help your business grow. We'll do this and do that. And everything they said they would do, they did. Now his business is grown. They visit him all the time. While I was there, at least two calls came from the Egyptians. I knew because he has learned the Arabic. Of course, I ministered to him. I told him what he didn't know. I told him, I've been where you are. But the point is this. The way the Islamic religion is penetrating everywhere around the world, and Christians folding their hands, is tumbling the world even further. A French lawmaker said, and I quote, the situation with the Muslim influx in Europe can reach catastrophic levels in the summer. as some 2 million people could claim asylum in the continent this year. End of quote. All right, so as we experience this trouble all over the world, there has to be individual revival, personal revival, before we can see a global revival. You must have with you a plan of an escape route of the tragedy befalling the world that we are in. In scriptures, at every difficult time, you see people that escape. For example, the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17, 8 to 16. She was preparing to die, eat the last meal and die. But then Elijah showed up because God had asked him to go to the house of the widow. The widow needed to pass a test. Elijah said, give me that meal. He said, that's the last meal. I just want to cook, eat, and we die. If you want water, I can give you water. But this food, that's all we had. The prophet says, give it to me. She obeyed. You know the rest of the story. She never lacked throughout the time of famine. The four lepers at the gate of Samaria in 2 Kings chapter 7 experienced what you can call personal revivals before it became national revival. In other words, at any time when tragedy befalls the world, there are people that can position themselves for a resurgence. I'm praying that you be one of those in the name of Jesus. Let me hear your loudest amen. Escape route, therefore, is personal resurgence. That's why tonight is very crucial. I'm watching the time and I pay attention to time a lot. But tonight, before I will step down, I want to get us to a point where you want to ask the Almighty God for all it takes for you to experience a personal resurgence. So let me move even faster now. Resurgence is about choices. As you make your choice, the choice makes you. Always. And that's what brings me back to our text. In the day of his power, the Bible says that the people shall be willing. In other words, there has to be a willingness before there can be a personal resurgence. Choice is perhaps the most powerful phenomenon on earth, determining life and death, joy and sorrow, pain and gains. Choice. We are always making choices, but as we make our choices, the choices in turn make us. On the matter of choice, God called witnesses both in heaven and earth. Deuteronomy 30 and 19. Say, I call heaven and earth to bear witness against you today that I've laid before you life and death, blessing and curses. He even advise us. Say, choose life. Those that will experience personal resurgence must be willing. In the day of his power, my people shall be willing. We are warned severally about choices in the Bible. Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, there is a way that seemeth right. Proverbs 14, 12. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, the end thereof. Amen. The ways of death. Amen. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, the same he shall reap. Amen. It's always personal. So the very first bridge, therefore, that has broken, which connects the present to the future, is the fact that godly fathers are no longer in the majority. The very first bridge that must be reconstructed is that heads of homes must have to get back to the place. Otherwise, the future is in jeopardy. This probably is the world's greatest threat. I can give you many examples from generation to generation how this has happened. If you look at Adam, Adam broke the bridge. In Genesis 3 verse 17, you know the story very well, 17 to 19, the Lord gave them only one rule, just one law. Eat this fruit, don't eat this one. You know the story. They ate it and death came. We shouldn't be having sicknesses and pains and death, except that Adam broke the bridge. Thank God for the second Adam in Jesus. who came to the rescue. Adam gave permit to Satan. He permitted Satan to attack his descendants. Can give you another example. Eli broke the bridge. Eli is a priest in Israel. In 1 Samuel 2 verse 30, the Bible says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Priesthood was wiped out in his lineage. His future destroyed. And when God gave him a choice or a chance for personal revival, look at what he said in 1 Samuel 3:18. Let's read it together just so I know you are with me. 1 Samuel 3:18, 1, 2, go. "And Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." Maybe you don't understand King James. Look at the New Living Translation. 1, 2, go again. "So Samuel told Eli everything. He didn't hold anything back. It is the Lord's will," Eli replied. "Let him do what he thinks best." Even when he could beg God for a revival, he said, "I don't care. He is God. He can do what you like." Now, it is personal revival. Tonight, I'm hoping that somebody will not be like Eli, who is going to say, "Well, I don't care. God can do anything he wants." You want your own past, because the world that we are in is tumbling, looking for who to consume. Revelation 12, verse 12, the Bible says in the B part, say, "Woe to the inhabitants of the heart." He said, "Because devil had come down unto you with great wrath, knowing that his time, he had but a short time." Now, if you think things are going to get better for the world, then you've not read the scriptures. But you see, things can get better for you. Because it was in the middle of famine that Joseph prospered. As a matter of fact, light is not so useful when there is light. Light shines only in darkness. So even as the world is tumbling, you are the one that will be lifted. Let me hear your amen. There was a guy called Gehazi. He was a servant of Elisha. Elisha had received the double portion of the spirit of Elijah. You know the story. And Gehazi was to receive the double portion because he would have told Elisha that your own master didn't deny you double portion of blessing. I too want double portion. But rather than getting double portion, he broke the bridge that removed glory from his lineage forever. Rather than build a bridge of glory for his children to travel on, he built the bridge of shame. He was both a bad son and a terrible father. So in 2 Kings 5:27 from the Amplified, 2 Kings 5:27, the Bible says of Gehazi, "Therefore the leprosy of Naaman shall cleave to you and to your offsprings forever," not for 10 years, forever. And Gehazi went from his presence a leper as white as snow. He broke the bridge. All his children are born. They are born leper, 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 leper. And not for 10 years, not for 100, forever. The bridge connecting today with tomorrow in fatherhood is broken and must be rebuilt. I can move ahead and bring you out from scriptures back to how this has happened in our contemporary world. I was in the UK with my wife on a short break in June. And June 11th, happens to be the official 90th birthday of Queen Elizabeth. And I was thinking that this would not have happened except for a man who broke the bridge on his lineage that brought Queen Elizabeth. And just in case you don't know, I mean, she was very young, you know, just about to turn 26 when she became the queen. The coronation of Queen Elizabeth too, as monarch of the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, the Union of South Africa, Pakistan, and Ceylon, took place on 2nd of June, 1953. Elizabeth ascended the throne at the age of 25 upon the death of her father, King George VI, on the 6th of February, 1952, and was proclaimed queen by her various privy and executive councils shortly afterwards. Now listen to me. A man broke the bridge. His name, King Emperor Edward VIII. He was the reigning king at that time. And I will read a short story of this man to you. It made me weep the first time I saw it. In 1936, a constitutional crisis in the British Empire was caused by King Emperor Edward VIII's proposal to marry Wallis Simpson, an American socialite who was divorced from her first husband and was pursuing a divorce of her second. The marriage was opposed by the governments of the United Kingdom and the dominions of the British Commonwealth. Religious, legal, political, and moral objections were raised. As British monarch, Edward was the nominal head of the Church of England, which did not, at that time, allow divorced people to remarry if their ex-spouses were still alive. So it was widely believed that Edward could not marry Wallis Simpson and remain on the throne. So he was the king, but wanted to marry Wallis Simpson, a second-time divorcee. And it was not allowed at that time because the king at that time was also the head of the church. And so no, said, you can't do that. You can't marry her. And alas, the guy said, well, what are the options? He said, well, if you want to marry her, then you must vacate the throne. And so he wrote, instruction of abdication. I, Edward VIII, the Great Britain, Ireland, and the British dominions beyond the seas, King, Emperor of India, do hereby declare by irrevocable determination to renounce the throne for myself and for my descendants. And my desire that effect should be given to this instrument of abdication immediately. In token whereof, I have hereunto set my hand this 10th day of December, 1936, in the presence of the witnesses whose signatures are subscribed. So he left in 1936. And alas, George VI was crowned, who was the father of Queen Elizabeth, to take his place. And so was crowned as King of the United Kingdom in 1937. He supported Winston Churchill completely and was an important symbolic leader for the British people during World War II, even visiting armies on the battlefront. He was succeeded by his daughter, Queen Elizabeth II, in 1952. He had two daughters, Elizabeth and Margaret. And Elizabeth was the older and took over from the father. Now, if Edward, George VIII, had not abdicated the throne for himself and his descendants, then Elizabeth wouldn't have been there. But like I said, it's always a choice. Everyone has got a choice. And so as I watched Queen Elizabeth II on her 90th birthday, my mind went back to George Edward VIII, who ruled out his generation from being king. Brethren, whether it is Eli or Adam or Gehazi or King Emperor Edward VIII or anyone, the fatherhood, the bridge of fatherhood, connecting today to the future tomorrow, is broken. And until it's rebuilt, we're in trouble. So what broke the bridge quickly? Men and serving the Lord. I looked at the choir tonight. Beautiful sisters, beautiful ladies, all of them. Not a single male voice. I turn around to look at the instrumentalist. I find out that even the pianist is a sister. Thank God for the brother. Now, it is not only in San Antonio Salvation Center. All across America, the story is the same. As a matter of fact, the typical U.S. congregation draws an adult crowd that is 61% female, 39% male. This gender gap shows up in all age categories. I looked at the youth as they were dancing. All of them girls. The bridge connecting today to the future is broken, brethren. This gender gap is not just a U.S. phenomenon. Churches around the world are short on men. No other major religion suffers such a large chronic shortage of males. You won't see it in Islam. You won't see it in another religion, but only in Christianity. In the Islamic world, men are publicly and unashamedly religious, often more so than women. Of the world's religion, only Christianity has a consistent nagging shortage of male practitioners. The global survey result. This Sunday, almost 25% of married church-going women will worship without their husbands. Midweek activities often draw 70 to 80% female participants. A significant number of church-going men attend out of habit, unaffected by what they hear. Quite a few men go to church simply to keep their wives, mothers, girlfriends happy. The majority of men who attend church do nothing during the week to grow their faith. Relatively few churches are able to establish or maintain a vibrant men's ministry. Very few. But why? Gehazi syndrome. Love of money more than of God. Oh. I read this in the Vanguard News. A wife beats lecturer husband to death over extramarital affairs. The man who allegedly killed his wife, another story, in the Egbeda area of Lagos State, has given reason why he committed the act, Punch reports. The suspect, Lekan Shonde, said he killed his wife, Ronke, because she provoked him by describing vividly how her lover slept with her in a hotel in Abuja. Lekan, a depot worker in the Papa area of Lagos State, accused his wife of 8 years of dating the general manager of a publishing company. Shameless man. So we see all around us that the bridge that connects today to tomorrow, which God has given to fathers, is not in place. And so that makes the future terribly bleak. The high rate of divorce, over 2.5 million divorces yearly in America. Fatherless youth at higher risk for jail. According to a study, young men who grow up in homes without fathers are twice as likely to end up in jail as those who come from traditional two-parent families, according to a new study released. How many of you know the song, I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb? Man, that's a very great music, song rather. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor his commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength. Very beautiful song. This is just the chorus. The man that wrote that song, Ray Bowles, you can't believe what has happened to him. You can't believe it. Ray Bowles was virtually unknown when he wrote Thank You, which won the Song of the Year in a prize at the 1990 GMA Dove Awards. His song, I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb, also won a Dove Award for Inspirational Recorded Song of the Year and the 25th GMA Dove Awards in 1994. After the release of songs from the Potter's Field in 2002 and his last tour in 2004, Bowles retired from the music industry. He separated from his wife in 2005 before moving to Fort Lauderdale in Florida, with their divorce being finalized in LA 2008. On Friday, September 12, 2008, during an interview with the Washington Blade, Bowles disclosed that he was gay. Since then, Bowles has performed at several churches of the Metropolitan Community Church, a gay-affirming Christian denomination. Go and listen to the song. The inspiration that came with that song had not come from man. Definitely from the throne of grace, I believe. I mean, our youth, during the youth week in our church about 2 weeks ago, sang the song. Everybody was at attention. But the man who wrote it, divorce the wife, now again. Without any doubt, I can't roll all of the teachings. But I will try and conclude. Number three is parenting. Number of minutes per week that parents spend in meaningful conversation with their children is 38 minutes. According to American Family Research Council, approximately 84% of custodial parents are mothers and 16% of custodial parents are fathers. Do the math. 44% of parents are currently divorced or separated. 33% of parents have never been married. 44 plus 33 is 77% of people taking care of children have no business doing so. And of course, there's so much of dishonor to God. And this is what has broken the bridge that fathers should be connecting. In 1 Timothy 3:13, "For I told him that I would judge his family forever. Because of the sin he knew about, his sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them." In homes now, there are divided voices in child correction. Supporting children against the church structure. Sometimes they fight with the children teachers. I know a pastor's son that went to jail. I remember that my wife and some other people will tell the boy, "Why are you putting earring? Why are you, you know, what they do? You know, cut your hair like, you know." Say, "Well, my mommy said it's okay." And then the boy went to jail 10 years. He went in at 15 or so. 15, 16. What are we doing? Some are indifferent to what happened to their children. Of course, the ungodly school system is not helping. The second bridge broken. Of course, because the fathers are not in place, the bridge of godly children that can take over tomorrow is also broken. And if, I mean, approximately 4 in 10 young girls in the U.S. become pregnant at least once before 20 years, according to facts in brief, teen sex and pregnancy. In the U.S., 1 in 4 sexually active teens become infected with sexually transmitted disease every year. More than half, 56% of youths aged 12 to 17 reported that marijuana was easy to obtain. Most young people who spoke are addicted to nicotine and report that they want to quit but are unable to do so. I was shocked when a 14-year-old girl in my church, I can't believe it, the parents are ministers. And what had happened was another child who you might probably think could, you know, do some things, had stolen, I think a sweater from school. And so gave it to this other one to keep. Then I said, "Why are you stealing?" So she said, "Well, just take it for me." So she took it. And the following day, she put it on, forgetting that it was a stolen thing. And of course, the owner then found out. So the teacher sent for the two parents. Anyway, long story short, my mom sent for the two girls because the two parents began to fight. Because the guy who stole it said, "No, I didn't steal it. After you did see it with me. Is he not the one wearing it?" So that one began to cry, and the parents started fighting. "No, my daughter cannot steal." Anyway, so they came to my wife. My wife is in charge of our children's and youth ministry. So when they came there, my wife sent the mothers out and sat with the girls. And so the one who stole confessed that it's true, I stole it. But I'm not only the bad fellow. This person, he might not be stealing, but he's smoking marijuana. My wife said, "Is that true?" She said, "Yes." How many times? Say, "I can't count." 14-year-old. Nigerian. And excuse me, because it's foreign to us. I mean, to even smoke cigarette, I mean, I say, hey. Now, but that is how far things have decayed. Many ministers don't know what their children are doing. These people could, there's no way the mother could believe. She couldn't believe. More than 5 million children living today will die prematurely because of a decision they will make as adolescents. The decision to make to smoke cigarettes, according to Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. 60% of college girls diagnosed with a sexually transmitted disease were drunk at the time of infection. 8 young people a day die in alcohol-related crashes, according to Mothers Against Drunk Driving website. Teens in jail, I went to check. I found out that, of course, number one was the United States, with over 2 million, because this is where they are. On the 8th position was South Africa, with 181,000 teenagers. And I'm sure you want to know where Nigeria is, number 36. Over 40,000 teenage Nigerians are in jail in America. That's how terrible things have become. Of course, finally, it's godly, you know, godly government no longer exists. And it doesn't seem like there's one in sight. I'm not a politician. I'm only just telling you what I know as a pastor. And that's why one of the prophecies this year from my father and the Lord, natural disasters, beginning of quote, floods, fires, earthquakes, are likely to get progressively worse until governments realize that these are part of divine judgment against those who have unholy laws. If government will repent of disdaining Christ and his church, it will help them win the fight against terrorism. End of quote, Pastor Ehi Adeboye. Global crisis as Christ is ignored globally. According to the New York Times, turbulence and uncertainty for the market after Britain, you know, exited European Union. I mean, as a matter of fact, the Prime Minister Cameron resigned. I'm sure a lady is coming in now. The pound plunged to its lowest level since 1985. Britain's departure from the European Union could send shockwaves across the global economy and threaten more than $1 trillion in investment and trade with the United States, according to the Washington Post. So, what shall we do? It's only one thing. In the day of his power, the people shall be willing. We must rebuild the broken bridge, and it is personal revival leading to global revival. It has to start with you and your home, and their resurgence will come. It's about a choice that we have to make. For in the day of his power, thy people shall be willing. Godly fathers must come back. Godly children must come back. And godly government must come back. Joshua said in Joshua 24, verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye shall dwell. But as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. As I close, this is what's going on. The decision of tonight as individuals could determine life and death, could determine joy and sorrow, could determine pain and gains. It determine, or the choice you make here tonight can be all the difference that you are waiting for. Difficult times like we are in, for every true child of God, is a beautiful time. Search through the scriptures. Whenever God wants to bring something glorious out, there is always a crisis. When Moses was born, children were meant to be killed. And he was taken to the river. You know the story very well. And then his glory shone out of that crisis. When Jesus was born, the stars came and the wise men showed up. And there was crisis. This time it wasn't Pharaoh. This time it was Herod. And Herod said, kill them. And then Christ went to Egypt with the parents. And the glory shone. For Joseph to shine, there had to be crisis again in Egypt. We're in the world of crisis right now. I believe the reason is because you are about to shine. Yeah. I say, you are about to shine. Yeah. I say, you are about to shine. Yeah. The lepers at the gate of Samaria, they've been thrown out never to enter the city again. But because resurgence was their portion, there had to be a crisis. And the crisis brought the outcasts back to the city. But we have a choice to make. And that choice is to rebuild the broken bridges. As a man, it starts from you. So I'm going to be a different father. I'm going to stay my duty post. As a young person, you have to make a choice that I'm tired with sin. I want to line up with God. then you find that it doesn't matter what goes on the face of the earth. When evil is ahead, you are behind. When evil is behind, you are ahead. Amen. But that will not happen until we line up with God. If Eli had repented and had not said, I don't care what God wants. He's God, let him do as he wants. He would have preserved the future. If Judge Edward VIII had said, what is in a woman who has divorced twice? That I'm going to ruin the generation unborn. What's wrong with me? And if you are pulled back, maybe we're talking about one of his children today and not Queen Elizabeth. What decision are you going to make? I'll tell you two stories and then I will call us to pray. Now, an hunter had gone to the bush and kill a big lion. But then the big lion had a little baby lion, very tiny, like cat. I said, well, this is a beautiful baby lion. I'll take this home. So carry the dead big lion, the mother, home. And then the king said, hey, congratulations for killing the mother. At least it's big food for us in the village. But whether it's baby lion or adult lion, lion is lion. Let's kill this one too. Say, no, this one is a baby. I will raise this one as dog. So the baby lion began to grow. And one day, it was the child of the hunter that was playing with the baby lion, and he fell and had a bruise. And there's something inside the lion. I said, this blood looks like food. And for the first time, he tasted blood. And the son of the hunter became the first victim in the village. There are many things in our life that we call small. You know, I don't have three boyfriends. It's only one. We are steady. We are going to get married anyway. That's not a big sin. Yeah, I know it's fornication, but it's with the guy I'm going to marry. What does it matter? Now, that's it, little sin can destroy. And that's why when you want to position yourself for revival, nothing is simple. Nothing is small. Everything is important. Oh, I just thought a little lie. I lie once a while. How can that be a big deal? That little lie can hinder the future. My second story. Again, this time is a snake. I probably have shared that one here before, and that's why I like to share it all the time, because many Christians cannot stand for God in public. Anyhow, the snake saw the snail in the dark, and the snake said, I will kill you, snail. And the snail said, I know you can, but please, let's go to the open. If you kill me, at least I can have some decent burial. And so the snake said, I don't care. Wherever you want to die, I kill you today anyway. So they both came to the open, the snake and the snail. And the multitude of people saw the two of them. What do you think they did?
They killed the snake.
Now, the snake is the devil. He likes you in the dark. Don't let anybody know. And that's why he has been destroying many of us. There are many things in the dark. Many things. If you are to know what's going on with somebody sitting next to you, you will pray more for them. In the dark, you have no chance against the devil. Because he's covered in darkness. But if only you step out, the devil will flee. He doesn't have as much power as we arrogate to him. Tonight, therefore, I want us to come to the place of personal revival, personal commitment to God. And when you position yourself like that, like Joseph did, then let the world tumble as many times as possible. You will be the one rising. Can we please stand now? Thank you, Lord. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, keep me burning. Burning till the close of the brethren, because our time is fast spent. You might not have jumped up and get excited. It's because God has got principle. God will be irresponsible if he gives you things in your fieldiness. He doesn't operate like that. And he's not an irresponsible God. But for as many as we commit to him, he's ready to revive them. Apostle Paul made up his mind one time and just said, well, Lord, I'm here. I'm ready. I'm going to make 3 different calls tonight and I will call them together. So nobody knows which one you have come out for. The broken bridge of fatherhood is broken. Now, I want the fathers who truly know that I must be revived as a father be the first category that I want to call. Fathers must get back. Then I want to call all our young people, particularly those who are not married. And you know you are treading on dangerous paths. Remember, I told you that some will fall and never get up again. You have an opportunity today to receive personal revival. And then the last category, maybe you are not born again, or you are born again, but you know your spiritual life is not what it should be. I want to pray for you. Once I'm done with that, we'll all pray only one prayer, and then I'll hand over the microphone. So if you belong to any of those categories, lift your hands above your head. Lift it up very high. I can see that. I can see that hand. I can see it. I can see that one. Okay, why don't you come there? Come forward. Let's pray together. Come. Let's pray together. As they come, let's clap for them as they come. Let's clap for them as they come. Okay, please come. Please come. You are the one that will experience a personal revival. Let's clap as they come. This bridge must be reconstructed. It must be rebuilt. It must be rebuilt. Please keep coming. Keep coming. I will wait. I will wait. Pastor, I won't mind. Please come. Please come. I'm done. I just want to pray for these people. Please come. Please come. Please come. Glory be to God. Please come. Please come. Please come. If you don't mind, just kneel down and begin to talk to God. Kneel down and begin to talk to God. Now, if you are there, and you know you should join these people, because there are some that have destroyed the future of their children, you can have a second chance. There are things you have done that have affected your children negatively. You know it yourself. God is a God of a second chance. While all eyes are closed, just come here and join this people so I can pray for you. Church, let's pray for these ones. That these ones will not be destroyed. Let's pray for them before I pray. Let's pray for them before I pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God bless you, my sister. It's not too late. Is there somebody else who's still contemplating, should I be here? Should I not be here? The devil likes you in the dark. Don't give him a chance in the dark. Come to the open. Get a second chance. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Brother, I still need down there because I want Pastor OJ to be the one praying for us tonight. The rest of us, lift your right hand above your head. Let me hear you say, Father, revive me personally. Go ahead now and pray. Revive me personally. 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 Revive me, O Lord, personally. Personally, revive me. Revive me personally. In the name of Jesus, please revive me personally. I need a personal revival.
Father, we thank you. Blessed be your holy name tonight. Almighty God, we know that no one can come unto you unless you draw such a person unto yourself. For this reason tonight, we want to thank you for these wonderful children of yours that you have decided to draw to yourself tonight. Thank you, Lord, because by the reason of the word of the living God, these ones have been rescued from the jaws of death. By the reason of the word of the living God, these ones have been saved from impending perdition. Amen. By the reason of the word of the living God, these ones have been quickened in their mortal bodies tonight. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, these ones have come out of personal conviction that I am going in the wrong direction and I need a rescuer. You are the Almighty God who has promised that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For upon Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. Lord, tonight we want to thank you because these ones, they have been delivered tonight. Lord, the battles that these ones have fought that you have given them victory over, we stand together as a church tonight to say they will never have to refight that battle in the name of Jesus. Amen. Your victory shall be permanent. Amen. The Bible says, 1 John 5 and verse number 4, whatever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that has overcome even our faith. By the reason of the fact that you have been born of God tonight, every battle that the enemy shall bring across your path, you shall overcome in the name of Jesus. Amen. You shall overcome in the name of Jesus. Amen. You shall overcome in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, because it could be because of this one you have organized this meeting tonight. We know angels are rejoicing in heaven at this great salvation of soul. Lord, if you can go after one sinner, that tells us there is great rejoicing over these several souls tonight. And Lord, our heart desire is that these ones, you will keep them on the straight and the narrow path. Amen. None of them will go back to their vomit again. Amen. And the grace that they need for the journey to the future, Lord, we ask you that you release upon us tonight. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And on the last day, Lord, we pray, you will count each and every one of them and us worthy to reign with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you. Lord, we want to pray for the anointing. The only word Jesus spoke unto that guy who was on the same spot in life for 38 years because of his sin. His sin kept the man down on the same spot for 38 years. After he received his deliverance, one word Jesus spoke to him was that, now that you have been made whole, go and sin no more. No man can go and sin no more by his power. For this reason, as a church tonight, we bring our voice together to pray for grace upon this one. Amen. To pray for anointing upon this one. Amen. To go and sin no more. Amen. From now, your light will shine for Christ. Amen. People will see the rising of your light. Amen. Gentiles and your old friend, they shall be drawn to the light. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We give you all the glory. If we don't mind, the Holy Spirit will have us just to those who are before the altar of the Lord. We are going to do something very spiritual. The Bible says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So just a brief prayer tonight. Those who are before the altar of the Lord, you will just repeat this short prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for tonight. Thank you for this commitment. Thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the forgiveness of my past. Thank you for giving me a new beginning. Say, Lord Jesus, I commit my life to you from now on to live for you in whatever way the work of darkness wants to entice me. I pray for grace. I pray for strength to overcome. And say, Father, in my new walk with you, help me, strengthen me, uphold me. And at the end of the day, let me be able to reign with you in eternity. Thank you, Jesus, for I am born again. Thank you, Jesus, for I'm a brand new man. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let's put our hands together. And to the congregation of the people of God tonight, the message of the gospel has been preached. And the message of the gospel is supposed to bring joy. Praise God. It's supposed to bring joy. Whenever the message was preached in Samaria, the Bible said, Philip preached the message. There was deliverance. And the Bible recorded Acts of the Apostles chapter 8, verse number 8. There was great joy in the whole city. The message of the gospel is supposed to bring joy.
Right.
After conviction should be joy, not condemnation again. Yes, hallelujah.
Yes,
so tonight, I want us to raise up our two hands. I don't know whatever area of life our joy has been stolen. By the reason of the message of the gospel tonight, there shall be restoration.
Yeah.
Almighty God, under this anointing the house tonight, Lord, the message of the gospel cannot be more Holy Spirit inspired and delivered than it has been done tonight. With the number of people who have come to surrender, even unto the cross. Lord, those who came, they came to identify openly with Jesus. But there are several others who are in the congregation that the message has touched their life in a significant way tonight. And Lord, our prayer is that the joy that would normally accompany the message of the gospel, let it be the portion of all your children in Jesus' name. As you step out of this sanctuary tonight, you step out with fullness of joy in the name of Jesus. In whatever area of life, the enemy has cut short your joy. The enemy has diminished your joy. The enemy has taken from your joy. There shall be full restoration in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, Psalm 16 verse number 11, that will show me the path of life, because in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Therefore, tonight we stand together. To every individual, every destiny, every family, every hope that is here tonight, receive fullness of joy in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every joy that is quarrelful, every joy that is harmful, every joy that is still quarrelful, we speak with one voice tonight. We call upon the host of heaven tonight. We call upon the Almighty God tonight, that all such joy shall be full and overflow in the name of Jesus. Receive overflowing joy tonight. Receive joy unspeakable tonight. In the name of Jesus. Joy in your marriage. Joy in your home. Joy in the life of your children. Joy in the life of your spouse. Joy in your career. Joy in your ministry. Joy in your community. Joy in your neighborhood. Joy in your city. Joy in your nation. Joy joy in every life around you from tonight. In the name of Jesus. We give you all the glory. Spirit of the living God, we reference you tonight. Blessed be your holy name. Lord, we believe you. That what you have done tonight, much more you will do tomorrow. And much, much more you will do even on the third day. In the name of Jesus. Blessed be your holy name tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, we give thanks. Can we put our wonderful hands together to appreciate?
Hallelujah. Come on, let's make it louder than that. To the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's please be seated. We're almost done. I've been asked to...
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.